Welcome to today's episode. Here's a quick trailer for you. Be sure to stick around and catch the full episode.
And my wife and I were actually in tears the night before because we learned how much this was costing. And I think the cost was like $120,000. And we're like, oh my God. And there were 320 people in the room. And again, we were crying the night before, like we were so nervous. And we're like, please, please, please let us break even. And I do the pitch and like 20 some take the 20,000 and three take the 50,000. So 320 in the room, it does five, we do over $500,000 in sales. And it was like, oh my God, I think our most successful since, I think we had one event that did over 3 million. Last year was a virtual event and we had 6,900 registered, which I can share some strategies on what we did there, but we actually crushed it, man. I mean, we crushed it. And then it made me wonder like, why the hell have we been paying all these hotels? But as far as numbers, virtuals can make a lot of sense. And they definitely did for us a whole, I think it was one quarter the cost and double the income. Like it was crazy. And we went in like 40, 45 days, we went from 2,200 to 6,900. I mean, it was over a million net after everything. And we'll take that. In my pitches, I'll say, hey, if you can't cover your bills right now, this isn't the offer for you. Don't buy it. If you're so stressed to pay your bills, then don't go plunking this down on a credit card and be more stressed out. I assume that an event is not going to change someone's life. It's only if you can get them into your program. It's only if you can get them to stay around the campfire. And so that's what I think is so detrimental about being pushy is not only does pushy not work, but it also pushes them away from your campfire.
Have you ever wondered what event leaders are doing right now to pack their rooms and convert attendees into high-ticket clients? Welcome to the High Profit Event Show, the podcast for experts who want to maximize profits and impact through live events. I'm Rudy Rodriguez, and each week I interview industry leaders to share what's working right now when it comes to filling your events, engaging your audience, and getting clients to enroll into your high ticket programs. So stick around and be sure to hit that subscribe button. Welcome to the High Profit Event Show. My name is Rudy Rodriguez, and on today's episode, we have a very special guest, Mr. Ray Higdon. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey, Ray. I love how your name rhymes with so many things. I know I used to have like a jingle that went with your name, I think years ago, you tell me about it.
Yeah.
I know you're an expert in the field of obviously network marketing as well as leadership. And you have a tremendous amount of experience in the event space, having led and facilitated many successful events, both in person and virtual. I just want to share a few bio points for our audience in case somebody is listening and they don't know who you are. One, I know you're two times best-selling author and a former number one income earner in a network marketing company. And part of your story is that you built that while you were in foreclosure. It's a really pretty cool part of your turnaround story. And you shared the stages with people like Tony Robbins, Bob Proctor, Les Brown, Robert Kiyosaki, and many more. And your coaching company has also reached the Inc. 5000 fastest growing companies. And also you and Jessica are the creators of a reality show, Play to Win, which sounds pretty cool. Look forward to hearing more about that.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome, Ray. So love just to start picking your brain about, you know, what inspired you to get into events? Maybe tell a little bit about the genesis story of how you started leading and became an event leader and kind of your journey and progress into events.
Yeah. I'll share quickly what first got me into speaking, because I think that's relevant. I remember I was working at a county government and I was a junior project manager or something like that. And my boss asked me to do a project update to the little section in the department, which are like six or seven people I'd worked with for years. And when she told me that I would have to stand up in front of everyone and deliver a speech, I was terrified. And so for 3 days, I didn't sleep. I went and got Speaking for Idiots, like the Dummy's Guide to Public Speaking. And I was just terrified. I almost didn't go in, but I went in and I did that speech. And it was so bad because I was so nervous that my boss asked me if I was on drugs. And so it wasn't a good start. But after that, I remember sitting in the parking lot, I'm in my green Hyundai Sonata, and I'm like, well, now everyone knows I'm an idiot and I'm just going to quit and I'm going to go find another job. But I had two kids at home. I really couldn't do that. And so instead I went to college and took every public speaking course they had, joined Toastmasters, et cetera. And so about a year and a half later, I found myself out of that job and I was speaking at Planet Hollywood on the Vegas Strip. And so once I got a taste of the power of speaking and the power of talking to groups, I really never looked back. And so in real estate, which was my first major career, I would say, outside of a job, I was running little events here and there, 50, 100, sometimes up to 200, and just constantly putting value in front of people. And it really wasn't until 2013 that I bit into the Big Apple. And that was our first big event. And my wife and I were actually in tears the night before because we learned how much this was costing. And I think the cost was like $120,000. And we're like, oh my God. And this was going to be our first time offering coaching. And so we had a $20,000 option and a $50,000 option. Now the $50,000 option was only to make the $20,000 look better because no one's going to buy that. And there were 320 people in the room. And again, we were crying the night before, like we were so nervous and we're like, please, please, please let us break even. And I do the pitch and like 20 some take the 20,000 and three take the 50,000. So 320 in the room, it does five, we do over $500,000 in sales. And it was like, oh my God. And then I was so nervous for these $50,000 people. Do I move in with them? Like I remember working an entire year for $50,000 and it was just so weird to me. And what really helped me, and I think that it's a good thing for people to make an offer, to have an option that makes them a little nervous, because I was definitely nervous. All three renewed after a year, and I think two upgraded from the 20 to the 50 the next year. And that gave me a level of confidence that I could not have ever had, had I not ever offered it. And so since then, we've ran a whole bunch of events, but I'll let you take it from here.
Thanks for sharing that, Ray. I didn't know that part of your story, and really humbling, you and Jessica the night before crying and like just not knowing. And turn out. But I also, in my experience, has been like some, those are the situations that we need to step forward into that next version of ourselves. And sounds like it worked out beautifully for you guys. So congratulations on that, taking that risk and making it happen.
Yeah, thanks. I think our most successful since, I think we had one event that did over 3 million. Last year was a virtual event and we had 6,900 registered, which I can share some strategies on what we did there. I'm happy to help however you'd like.
Yeah, actually, I think that's totally relevant and valuable. I imagine had a business that was based on in-person live events up until March of 2020. And I imagine you, like many people, probably had a shift or pivot to more virtual stuff. Maybe you can speak to that and speak to that success you've had with promotion of your virtual event and what you guys did. I think that'd be really valuable for our audience.
Yeah, I wouldn't say we relied on events, but the event was the big money maker of the year. So we aren't a company that does like events every month or something like that, but we do one big event a year. We've tested a lot of different ways and we've done it a lot of different ways and we kind of settled on one big event a year. So when COVID and everything happened, the first thing that stung was I get hired as a keynote speaker for a lot of events. And it's a, I think, a healthy fee. It's a $25,000 keynote fee. And immediately 10 gigs get canceled. So that kind of stings. Most of them went to virtual at a lower fee or something like that. And then, of course, we had our event. And so we had to pivot there. And in 2020, when we pivoted to a virtual event, I was definitely nervous for sure. But we actually crushed it, man. I mean, we crushed it. And then it made me wonder, like, why the hell have we been paying all these hotels? But I don't think that's the way to think. I really don't. But as far as numbers, virtuals can make a lot of sense. And they definitely did for us. A whole, I think it was one quarter the cost and double the income. Like it was crazy. The double the income part, I don't attribute to virtual. I attribute to our growth. Like it was going to be a double income kind of thing, no matter what happened, I think. But the quarter the cost sure was nice. I think the better way to think is that there will always be people willing to pay a premium to be in person. And I miss that. I do miss the in-person, some parts of it. And this year we're actually doing a hybrid. So we'll have maybe 500 people in the room and we're shooting for 10,000 on virtual.
Wow, incredible. So hybrid event this coming year and your most recent virtual event, can you maybe share a little bit about that as far as, I think you may have said it, how many people you had present and just some what level of success you had there. Maybe you can speak to how you guys did that. I think that'd be really, really valuable.
Yeah. So we had 6,900 people registered, and these are people that paid something. And I say something because we used every trick we possibly could. And I think that this part is going to boil down to what is your community? So for us, we have our Rank Makers group, which is about 11,000 people. They pay $27 a month and we give them a daily action step. We have about 7,000 people we classify as lifers, where they didn't want to pay the monthly, so they paid a varying price, but a much heftier price to be a lifer. And so we give them specials. And then we have our course buyers, then we have the public. And so I think the biggest thing around getting more people to your event or on your virtual is really having a plan of what's going to be your approach with your community or communities. And that's got to be really, really thought out. And so we were 60 days out, or I think maybe less than 60 days out, I think 45 days out. And we were at like 2,200 people. And I'm like, oh man, we're so far off. I'm like, guys, we got to get to 6,000. And so we just pulled out all the stops, man. I mean, so like for our higher clients, I put in there, hey, get a ticket. We're doing 4 live masterminds prior to the event. And so we threw the kitchen sink at them. One strategy I suggest is we have a group for ticket holders. And we just pummeled that group with value and marketed the holy hell out of everything we were putting in that group. So we had scripts going in that group. We had special training, special interviews. We had bonuses. We had all kinds of stuff. I mean, we had swag bucks. We had swag itself. We had physical things. We just threw everything we could to make people really salivate at getting in that group so they buy their darn ticket. And we went in like 40, 45 days, we went from 2,200 to 6,900. And one of the rules was they had to do something to get that ticket. Now, did we have some people pay $50? Yeah. And we had some people pay, because we had multiple levels, some people paid $700 or $800. And it was really good. And our offer at the event, it was an $8,700 coaching bundle, which did pretty good. We did a little bit better the year before, so we're going to make some tweaks to that, but it did pretty good at the end of the day. I mean, it was over $1 million net after everything, and we'll take that.
That's awesome, man. My takeaway here is like the group and how you made it so valuable and exciting to get in the group now so that people outside the group were like tripping over themselves to get in. And just, I love how you just create that value vacuum almost, and people are getting sucked in.
Think about, because you can use urgency.
Yeah.
That's the big problem with events is there's no urgency. It's 2 months out. It's 3 months out. Well, we were creating urgency multiple times a week. And so like, hey, you want to be on live? You got to have your ticket. Hey, you want to catch the recording? Got to have your ticket. So we're doing urgency both ways, every way we possibly could. And a strategy we're using this year, which we're actually ahead of last year, and I think we're at 1,000 tickets right now. And we're 6 months out. We're more than 6 months out and we're at 1,000 tickets already. And so the strategy we're doing now is we're leading with VIP and super VIP, okay, virtual. And we're telling them, hey, there are going to be some seats in person. However, when we open those up, we're going to go to super VIP first. And so we think that's a really good strategy. Now notice what's not on the menu, GA. we're actually holding back GA, and we're going to use that as a weapon as we get closer. And so there is one community that we release GA to, and that's our lifers. And then everywhere they go, we're offering upgrades. We're giving them reasons to upgrades. So we secured a whole bunch of them with virtual GA, and now we've been hitting them with upgrades. But the public's never seen GA, and they won't until when we're really, really close. Because you want to understand the psychology. And like some people, like I've been coached by Grant Cardone, Grant doesn't care. If you see a ticket at this price and you see a ticket at this price, he doesn't care. He's like, it's not your offer. So if you just paid $1,000 for a ticket and then you see it the next day for $100, he doesn't care. He's like, whatever. We care. Like, I don't want people to experience that because I don't want them to think, well, maybe I should wait for a better deal. So we have to really think about our pricing, and we have to think about how do we reward people that take action, but then also not increase it so much so that come time for the event, it's so expensive, hardly anyone can buy it. And so that's where the GA comes in. So if we don't publicly market the GA this entire time, we can roll that out for real cheap because hardly anyone's seen it. You know what I mean? And yeah. So we're holding that back as a little chip there. And so right now we're hammering VIP and super VIP, and that's the majority of our tickets.
That makes a lot of sense, man. That's brilliant. I know you're a student of sales and influence in the book Influence by Cialdini, The Six Forces of Influence, and giving urgency being a super important piece. Anything we can do, because I've learned that people will put off making a decision as long as they can until they have enough reasons to do it right now.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, Ray, one of the things I really appreciate about you, and it kind of came out in the last few seconds here, is you guys care. Like, you really, really care about the customer experience and that they feel like they're having a great experience and it's a fair experience. And I know out of personal experience working with you and knowing you, that you care more about your attendees than you do about the money. And that's just, I think that's a beautiful place to come from. And maybe can you speak to that a little bit? Because I think that's important for our audience to hear why you care so much and how you communicate that.
Yeah. And you could make the argument that that's actually greedy. You could make the argument that caring on how the audience feels more than the immediate money is greedy, because long-term they should spend more. And so, like, I want our people to happily be buying from us for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. And so I think the best example of this sort of thing is when we first hired a call center, I told them, I said, listen, I don't want to get complaints. I don't want y'all making them feel bad. I know what y'all do. I don't want you making them, guilting them into making them feel bad if they can invest. Do the best you can. Don't make them feel bad. I don't want to get complaints. And you absolutely could say, well, hey, that's going to limit your money. And I'm sure there's pieces of that short term where that is true. And so I told him that. And then in the first month, we got all kinds of complaints. I listened to the calls that we got complaints on. And I'm like, all right, this guy's fired, this guy's fired, this guy's fired. And they were like, whoa, dude. He goes, I'll be honest. Everyone says what you said of, hey, don't make them feel bad, until they start making money, then they're okay with it. You're the first one to really stand by that. And so I'm like, can't happen, man. And so I don't want people to associate us with heavy-handed sales tactics. And does that cost me a little bit? I'm sure it does. But I like to think in the long run, it keeps people longer. And so I think at the end of the day that they'll probably spend more too, but they'll feel better. And so it's just very, very important. In my pitches, I'll say, hey, if you can't cover your bills right now, this isn't the offer for you. Don't buy it. If you're so stressed to pay your bills, then don't go plunking this down on a credit card and be more stressed out. It's probably not the right time for you. And I feel good about saying that. And someone will know if they're the type of person to go against that. Like, I started my journey in foreclosure. If someone had told me that you should go get a job right now, I wouldn't have listened. So if I can talk you out of hustling and grinding and doing the work to overcome, then, you know, you weren't ready for it. You weren't at the right vibration.
Yeah, it makes sense. Some of the training that I've gone through with Scott DeMaulin from Destiny Training is we don't mind stretching people, but we don't want to put them in financial hardship to the point where they can't even participate and be present in your program.
And that's tough to know. Like, I've been in financial hardship and I could focus, but I can't project that on everybody. I can't assume that of everybody.
Yeah. I just love how you let it be known, though, that where your heart is and what your intent is. And then it's obviously up to people to make their personal choices. But you're obviously doing what's in their best interest first, and not just what's going to line your pocket, which I think I agree with you, ultimately results in longer term clients, raving fan customers, maybe somebody who doesn't buy right now. But when circumstances change, they come back and they're like, I remember how Ray made me feel, even though I wasn't ready to buy. And they come back and they become your best, most loyal customer. So, yeah, I love what you're sharing, man. It's really an important theme of our show here is emphasizing, obviously people want to do events because they want to make money, but it's the experience that we're creating for people and how we're leaving them felt. We want to have an event to transform their lives so they leave the event in a better situation, whether they bought or they didn't buy.
I think an important note when said that way is that I assume that an event is not going to change someone's life. It's only if you can get them into your program. It's only if you can get them to stay around the campfire. And so that's what I think is so detrimental about being pushy is not only does pushy not work, but it also pushes them away from your campfire. And so don't look at my event's going to change a lot of lives. Your event will stoke the fire and may lead them to change their life, but not the event itself. It's what they do. It's what they do after the event. And if they keep around the fire, but they're not able to buy, then there's possibility. If they buy, then there should be a much higher possibility. If you turn them off through pushiness, then not only are they not buying, they're also leaving your community, never coming back. There's no possibility. And so it's a fine line of caring enough to have a great program that will help people and you stand by it and you powerfully represent it, but also not pushy or aggressive.
Yeah. Thanks for highlighting that a little 2 millimeter shift there. Just keeping them around the fire, keeping them in the community so that the change happens after the event and not pushing them away where they can't make the shift because they're not around the support.
Yep.
Yeah. So Ray, we have just a couple minutes left in our interview here. And why don't I just kind of open this up for any recommendations or suggestions you might have. First of all, how can listeners learn more about you? I think that's a good place to start.
Yeah, I'm all over different social media. I do a lot of videos. I do a lot of skits on Instagram. People tend to like those. Grant likes those. He mentions them all the time. It's funny. So yeah, check me out. Our YouTube channel is higdengroup.com/channel.
Awesome, man. Thanks for sharing that with our audience. And any like resources or recommendations that you would suggest to someone who is an event leader and they're preparing for their next virtual or in-person event?
I mean, as far as who I've learned from, I don't know if she's still publishing stuff, but I love Lisa Sasevich. Give her a shout out. She's incredible. Learned a lot from her. We work personally with Sage Events. They work with Tony Robbins, a bunch of other people. And so we love Barry and Blue over at Sage Events. They help us tremendously. And so we're big fans of theirs as well.
Awesome. Two great resources. Thanks for sharing that, Ray. Yeah. And any closing comments for our audience before we wrap up?
Yeah, I would say events, it's a really powerful opportunity to use manifestation in that you're channeling it to an event and make sure that the time leading up to the event, you're already seeing the event perfectly as you wish it would be. And you're having conversations with people post-event on how well it went. And so that's become a main staple of my life is just seeing and experiencing the things before they happen.
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of makes me think a little bit of Dr. Joe stuff that you and I.
Totally. Have. Memories of the future.
That's right. Dr. Joe Dispenza, an amazing course. Ray and I ran into each other at his advanced course. Highly recommended. I'm sure you do too, right?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Awesome, brother. Well, hey, thank you for being a special guest with On today. And for those of you still listening, if you found value today, be sure to subscribe. Also share this episode with someone who you think would find value from learning from Ray. And again, thanks Ray for being on and appreciate you. We'll go ahead and call this a wrap.
All right. Thanks, man.
Thank you for listening to the High Profit Event Show. If you are a seminar leader or thought leader or event service provider who has led or supported profitable, successful events to over 100 people, and you've been effective at enrollment into your high-end coaching, education, mastermind type programs, We're looking for guests. Love to have you on the show. You can go to our website, virtualeventsalesteam.com, click on the podcast tab and submit an application to be on our show. Also, if you found the show to be valuable, share it with someone who you think might benefit from it. Take a moment, please leave a review, and also subscribe if you haven't already. And lastly, if you have an upcoming event, whether it be virtual or in person, and you'd like to have a conversation about how to fill your coaching, education, mastermind programs fast using events, you're welcome to book a complimentary 15-minute consult with either myself or a member of my team on our website, virtualeventsalesteam.com. Again, this is Rudy Rodriguez, and congratulations on investing the time to listen to this episode. I hope it's invaluable. Have a great day.